your hands in the air.
Ever have one of those mornings when you just can't seem to get it together? Where you feel armed and dangerous? Me too. Hi, I'm Motor Cop. I'm here to tell you about the life-changing elixir that is Filthy Pirate Coffee. Whether you like a good dark Italian roast or a medium-bodied brew, Filthy Pirate has you covered. From flavors like bourbon pecan to horchata, and clever pirate nicknames like Shipwreck and Captain's Curse, Filthy Pirate will have you smiling over your morning joe. And they're the official coffee of WYE.
Filthy Pirate Coffee is the official coffee of WYE Radio. For your free shipping, go to WYERadio.com/filthypirate and enter Pirate Ship at checkout.
Filthy Pirate Coffee may not change your life. That's really more on you. They make coffee, not life decisions. But it's good damn coffee.
Listening to the WYE Radio Network.
It might still be October, but the guys are talking to author Douglas Brown about the Firefighter Christmas Carol. Hey. The podcast that responds to all emergencies on and off the job.
Here are your hosts, Motor Cop and the Happy Medic.
What's up, dude?
Hey, man.
We're not going to pretend it's Christmas today. It's not our Christmas episode.
You know, I don't care.
We do have a little bit of a Christmas theme.
I'm going to tell you right now that if my middle child was listening to this show, she would be all about it. She's like, Halloween? Don't care. Thanksgiving? Suck it. Christmas? Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. My absolutely favorite.
Since it's your middle one, you know what her favorite holiday is?
What?
Your mom.
That's true.
She is the best at the your mom jokes.
Her timing is hilarious. Stellar. It's and deadpan every single time. It's glorious.
Yeah. Well, one of the great things about having a world-renowned podcast and social footprint.
Oh, nice. Well done.
Is
well
every done. Now and then someone will accidentally email me something cool instead of who they were trying to get it to. And I can only assume that's what author Douglas Brown was doing.
I also assume he's from Latvia because we are huge in Latvia.
Huge in Latvia.
Yeah.
In self-help, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But he emails me. He's like, hey, dude, you might want to check out my book. And it is, like I said, A Firefighter Christmas Carol and Other Stories. And when he reached out to me, I was in a very bad place.
Right.
And I said, sure, you can send me a book, but I don't know how soon I'm going to read it because it's about depression and suicide and memories and maybe not the thing I should be reading right now.
Yeah, maybe not delving into too deep into that pool, huh?
Yeah, but I decided to give it a try.
All right.
And I started reading, and it is so immersive that I had to stop. And then I was able to finish the story, and I reached out to him like, dude, please come on the show.
I love it.
That's this fantastic. Is going to be so great. So you should have him on the line. Let's bring up author Doug Brown. Doug, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Awesome. Thanks Absolutely. For coming on the show. Now, Doug, help me out. Is this your first book?
No, so I've written six books. I've had four books published. And then I started writing on my own. I just started putting them out myself after my fourth book was published. And so this is my sixth one, my second one I've released on my own.
Nobody likes a bragger, Doug. I'm just saying. I've published a book, too.
I wrote a million books, and I published one by myself. But it wasn't nearly as gritty as what I'm reading here. Is this your usual tome? Or actually, let me go back. Tell us a little bit about your background, because you write a firefighter as if you've lived as a firefighter.
So I joined a volunteer fire department in 1991. I'm getting old. And then I got my paramedic in 1996, and then I got on Columbus, Ohio Division of Fire in 1999, and that's currently my job. I was promoted in 2011 to lieutenant, and I am now assigned ladder on Columbus's south side.
So that definitely explains how you can write being in the firehouse so clearly.
Yes, I mean, most of my writing has to do with like fantasy and werewolves. I tried to kind of get away from what I saw every day, kind of an escape. And, but this has been sitting with me for a long time. I've wanted to write something about PTSD that could be meaningful and could help people. Mm-hmm. And, when I stumbled on this idea, I just had to go with it.
Now I'm thinking to myself, you know, fantasy stuff. So do I have to reach out to you in order to read the Werewolf Firefighter book? Because that's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
So it is available everywhere. It's called Tamed, and it's about a Columbus firefighter. I use Columbus firefighters a lot in my writing, mm-hmm. and it's about a company that has found werewolves exist. They've tamed them. They've prevented them from turning back into human, and they've sold them to people as pets. Yeah.
I'm fascinated. Now there is an author. I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm going to go out there. I think it's Jamie Davis. That writes a series about vampires who are paramedics.
So
you could totally go into that. But I just love this idea. Yeah. So Doug, you're getting out there, and one of your ways of, I would say, addressing the stress of the job is you're going out there and creating this fantasy universe to kind of go and play in.
And that's what I was doing. In 2007, I had a very difficult run. And I struggled quite a bit afterwards. And it was a car wreck where a little boy had died. And I just, when I was working on him and when we were trying to help him, I just remember something was different about this run than all the other runs I had had. And when we flew him on the helicopter because the traffic was so backed up on the freeway, we were so far away from the trauma center, we went ahead and flew him on the helicopter. And I remember standing in the median of the freeway afterwards, looking around, seeing all the trauma dressings on the ground and littered across the ground. And I remember looking around and just thinking to myself, something's wrong. Something's different now. And after that, I decided, as I'm going through, I imagine we'll talk about it a little bit, but as I was going through some what I believe is PTSD, I decided to start writing, and I wanted to write something completely different than what I saw every day. I wanted to write about a fantasy world. It didn't matter, just anything far away from what I'm doing every day as a living. And so that's why I started writing fantasy, actually. But my dream when I started writing was to write something about PTSD that could help another paramedic, another first responder, anyone that suffers from that. I wanted to just be able to help them. But nothing that I came up with early on, I never felt it was special enough. I came up with a book of stories of runs that we've been on and just different things, and nothing seemed special enough until I came across this idea.
Did you start writing these stories in order to have some kind of sense of control over the outcome of, you know, the characters involved? Because, you know, in first responder world, we all like to think of ourselves as, you know, type A personalities. We're always in control, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, totally. But we're all control freaks because that's how we're trained. You have to control a situation. And oftentimes, it's so chaotic that control is laughable. Did you start writing in order to regain some of that control?
I think that's a pretty interesting way to look at it. I feel like I started writing because I just wanted to escape the world. I just wanted to be somewhere where I wasn't seeing real people die and real people have these hardships and all the things that can happen with fires and all that stuff. And I never really thought of it the way you put it just now, but I think that's probably spot on. I probably really enjoyed
that's
that.
That's what I do here. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, broken clocks are right twice.
Shut up.
Yeah. But Doug, so you build this fantasy world and you dive into it, but still kind of pecking at the back of your head is this idea to reach out with a PTSD story. And the one you reached out with goes from dark to darker. Let me ask you this. Was this therapeutic for you? Because reading your words was for me.
So it was. When I came up with the idea probably about 2 years ago or 2 years before I actually started writing it. I thought it was kind of a cool idea. I was in the middle of another fantasy novel that was a pretty in-depth one. It was taking a lot of my spare time, and I just had the idea, but it wasn't really fleshed out in my head too much. And when I sat down to write it, I sat down to write it last December. And when I did, I started with the intention of just talking about PTSD and telling this story about this main character named Elliot. And as I'm writing it, it was me. I mean, I felt as emotional as I was writing these stories, the different calls that this character was on. I was as emotional writing it as it was for the character to be going through it. And I realized probably about halfway through it that I was writing my story. I mean, you know, it's not how my story happened completely or anything like that. You know, it's fiction for sure, but it was my story. It was what I've always wanted to write. And I felt like when I was finished writing the first draft, I felt like I might have something here. And the first thing I did was I contacted my cousin. And my cousin is a battalion chief at a neighboring department. And me and him, he and I, or me and him, or I guess I should probably get that right.
I've heard it both ways.
So we started the fire service together at the volunteer department. And we've been pretty close ever since. And we've seen each other go through a lot of troubles and these kind of problems. And so I called him right away. And I said, I want you to read something. If you could just read this and let me know what you think. And so I got him a copy. And within a few days, he called me and wanted to know if he could come over to my house for a minute. And he came over and he's my older cousin. So of course I look up to him, and he came over and he just gave me a hug and said, this is just really special. And you're going to help a lot of people with this. And that probably the first time that I knew that I had something. So immediately after that, I sent it to my EAP. We have an employee assistance program through Columbus Fire that is real big on the PTSD, and they really help us a lot. And so I talked to the director there, and I sent it to her because the last thing I wanted to do was hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. And like even when I sent you the copy and you let me know that you were kind of struggling a little bit, you know, I was hesitant about whether you should even read it right now. I didn't know if that would be the best time for you to read it. And I actually put a disclaimer at the beginning of the book saying, if you're struggling, it might not be the best time to read this. But when she read it, she got back to me and said that she thinks it's going to help a lot of people, and I should pursue it.
And I think it definitely is. I mean, you literally open up your heart and your mind. And just with the immersive writing that you've got creating this firehouse, I felt like it was, even though you described a Columbus firehouse, it was one of my firehouses and the rigs looked like mine, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you can really put yourself into. And it's not so much kind of the doom and gloom. I mean, it is called A Christmas Carol, so you kind of know what's going to happen. The ghosts are going to come and show you what you don't want to see and try to get you to change your ways. But the way that you take Elliot through these different encounters, tell me what you were going through. You wrote that first draft. You said you wrote it in December. So here you are at Christmas time writing about this character at Christmas time. Did you start to relive calls like that one flying the kid out?
Absolutely. There's a call in the Christmas Carol in the second chapter where it is a child that's in a car wreck. And it was so hard for me to write. That was my story in a way. And I remember as I'm writing that, stopping to go do something else for a little bit and coming back to it because it was just very moving to me. And I know that everyone that's listening to this, that's a first responder, I know that you've all had your runs that stick in your head. And this might have been mine, but I know you guys can relate to it. I know that everybody who does this job for very long can relate to all these runs. And so, yes, it was very hard for me to write. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever written. Yet I say that, and it's the fastest piece of work I've ever written that I value. It came out. The original draft is not much different than what you're reading now that has gone through editing and proofreaders and all these different stages of when you're writing a book. And it did not change much. It changed some, but it didn't change much. And it was because I was feeling it when I wrote it and I felt it all the way through. And I just believe that it was just meant for me to write this at this time.
That's perfect. And now in this collection of short stories, you also go into some other stories, The Janitor, Death Alarm, Catch Time, Skelwaller, and then finishing up with DOA. Did all of these stories kind of come out at the same time, or is this kind of a non-fantasy collection of yours of recent thoughts?
So I wrote a couple of those stories, and they're more just supernatural suspense or psychological, and they are just short stories I've kind of tinkered around with over the years. And when I created A Firefighter Christmas Carol, I decided there needed to be an avenue. It needed to be worth somebody buying. A novella would be very thin as a book. And I thought I could put several stories together that all have the same kind of theme. There's fire department theme in this, and there's the ghosts and psychological issues. And so I started putting them together. And I had three stories I was kind of tinkering with, so I completely finished those over the course of the next few months after I finished A Christmas Carol. And then I wrote a couple more just because I just had some ideas. I thought they fit up really nice in with the collection. And I wanted to have a beefy, a good-sized collection that anybody could pick up and just enjoy all the way through. I don't believe any of the other stories are as emotional as the first one.
No.
That's why I named the book after the first one, because that's the main story. But I think they're all interesting and engaging just the same.
One of the things I found really interesting, and Justin and I were chatting about it last night over dinner, is that one of the things that I really like about the folks we have on the show is they really put their money where their mouth is.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey there, I'm Dave.
And I'm Greg, and we host the Unconventional Therapist Guide to Nothing,
a podcast all about mental health.
Well, Dave, I'd say it's more about psychology.
Yeah, but it's also true crime.
It's kind of about societal phenomenon and odd historical figures.
And cults.
Sometimes it's spooky, though.
How about this? This is the Unconventional Therapist Guide to Nothing.
So whether you're looking to work on your mental health, learn about history and society, or just have a few laughs, check us out. We're two licensed therapists trying to understand the world's anomalies.
Join us as we discuss the most interesting topics in a way that helps you better understand yourself, the world, and the people around you.
Insofar as supporting those of us in first responder world, and you went so far as to, correct me if I'm wrong, include your phone number in the book.
Actually, it's not mine. It's for the suicide hotline.
I included
it at the forward. It's perfect. A suicide hotline number. I just wanted people to be able to find some help if they're struggling.
That's amazing.
But my email is there, and anyone listening, anyone who reads my book, if they need to reach out to somebody, they can reach out to me anytime. I'm not an expert in PTSD. I'm an expert in what happened to me.
That's a great perspective. It so many times that I've found, watching Justin deal, with the struggles he's going through, and I've had my own, but it's in that. I don't know if commiseration is the right word. There's definitely some camaraderie there, but it's that opportunity to watch others kind of go through a similar experience and just kind of watch from afar and see how they're doing it and, trying similar things to see if I can trudge my way through, whatever it is that I'm facing, and having resources available. And that's, it's what we try to do week in and week out at WYE.
Yeah, it's huge to be able to read Doug's writing and say, I'm not the only one. That can be huge when you feel alone, when you feel kind of out there on the corner and kind of struggling, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, somebody else is going through this too.
Yeah, there's that sense of belonging. You feel less alone, and I know that in those moments, speaking for myself, when I feel completely alone, and the wife's like, well, let's go over to, the shores. Let's go, do a thing. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
But those are the exact moments that you need to and should reach out for that assistance. And, sometimes picking up a book and reading about somebody else's experiences can be that help you need.
Yeah. And there's two scenes in Christmas Carol. I don't want to give away too much, but there's two graphic suicide scenes. And, you know, the medication that I'm on now, one of the side effects, everybody keeps telling me, like, have you thought about suicide? Like, no. Okay, well, let us know if you do. Oh, okay.
That's like, right, you know, we have laundry to do today.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool.
But I was able to read Doug's writing and see how someone could be at that brink of making that decision, and I was able to make that separation, which is huge, because sometimes you're sitting there with absolutely no will to do anything, and the medication is messing with your mind, and you wonder, is this what it feels like? Am I supposed to, like, think about hurting myself right now? I don't know.
Am
I'm not
I
thinking
doing,
of anything.
Am I doing mental
it
health
right?
Wrong?
Yeah. But to be able to go in and see myself in many ways in Elliot and some of his coworkers, you know, I mean, it's so perfect the way you wrote the crew that Elliot works with. We all work with all those people. So you can fit in the different names and the different folks as it goes, but just being able to see someone else going through it and saying, okay, all right, we're there together, but we're not there together, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because that's how I felt with it. I felt that you should be able to read it and say, I know this guy. I don't know him, but I know this guy, or I am this guy.
Yeah.
And I really, and like I said, I'm not an expert in PTSD, but I feel one of the biggest problems for people facing PTSD and PTS is that they don't always realize it. You don't realize it. I've gotten through every bad call I've ever had without having a problem. I just got better after a while. But you know what? Sometimes there's a time where you don't get better afterwards. And it's very hard for people who are used to fixing people or helping people to look at themselves and say, I need help. And it wasn't until after my call, it wasn't until my wife was ready to leave me. It wasn't until I had missed probably a year of my son's life just sitting on the couch staring at an empty screen, TV screen, the news or whatever's on, my friends outside of the fire department took me out one night to talk to me about why I'm different. And it just made me angry, because I said, you guys don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've done. And these are things that we can't always know that it's happening to us. While our world falls apart around us, we don't always know that. And I felt like what I wanted to do with this book was to, if somebody is suffering, I want them to see it and go, wow, maybe I'm kind of like this guy. Maybe I should get some help, because there's help out there. And I think that people do want to help you. They want to help somebody who's having problems. And I just feel that if they see it, and they see it in this book, and they say, man, I act just like this guy. I, you know, slam lockers when another call comes out, or I've been drinking a little bit, or man, my wife and me are getting more distant. All these different things that happen to our character in this book. If you see it happening to you, maybe somebody sees this and says, wow, this is me. Maybe I do need some help. And that's my hope. And my other hope with it is that people who aren't firefighters or first responders can read this book and say, wow, now I know what my husband goes through. Or now I know what those guys that we see at the store doing their grocery shopping. Now I know what they go through sometimes. And I hope it opens people's eyes and it helps us deal with this issue.
Guys, we're talking to author Douglas Brown, author of A Firefighter Christmas Carol and Other Stories. I absolutely love having him on the show. I'm so happy that Justin made this available to us.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to point out to our listeners, like Doug was saying, is, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, we imagine it as, oh, I had this crazy call and that's what caused my trauma and now I'm dealing with this thing. The trauma can be the culmination of your career. It doesn't have to be one big call. We're kind of like the lobsters in the water. We're swimming around like, oh, hey, this is nice. This water's nice. It's a little warm, but it's okay. We don't realize we're in a pot that's about to go to boil. If you don't recognize it before it boils over, it's going to be so much worse. And it's going to be like Elliot and the characters in this book, that things go from bad to worse to horrible. That doesn't have to happen. You know, and we know from Christmas Carol, Elliot's probably going to learn that lesson, but it's very clever in the way that he does learn that lesson. And that's what makes it unique. You know, when you first reached out to me and you said it was the Firefighter Christmas Carol, I'll be honest. My first response was, seriously? You know, the Muppets did one too. But then I thought, hey, the Muppets did one. I want a fireman one. And so I asked for your book, and sure enough, that's exactly what I got. I got a lesson in life spoken by someone who understands me. And that's huge. And there are so many people out there, you know, like a MC always brings in these fantastic folks that talk about their career in law enforcement. It's like, well, yeah, they speak to him, but they don't speak to me. Your book speaks to me.
Well, I'm humbled that you say that, and I'm glad that happened. That's the entire effect I was hoping to get with this. And I do get, I'm getting comments. It's been out for about a month, and it's doing pretty well. But I get comments all the time I got a comment from somebody the other day that said they have family members that are in the service, and they just never even knew how to think about PTSD. Yeah. And it gave them an idea. And so all these things, if it helps somebody, that makes my struggles in 2007, it makes them worthwhile, because if it helps somebody else, then that's all I really wanted to do with this story. And then I'll go back to writing my fantasy.
If people are interested in checking out this book or any of your other works, where can they find you?
So I'm everywhere online. So Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere online. There are some stores that are carrying it. More and more stores are carrying it as the word gets out. They can order it through the same store or the same printing service that they order all their books through. So as people start hearing it, it'll start coming. But Amazon, you just do a quick search for A Firefighter Christmas Carol, and you'll find it. I have a web page that talks about all my writing. It is www.eppertasepublishing.com. It's Epertase, Eppertase Publishing. It's a word that my son came up with when he was just learning to talk, and so I named my whole world after it. So
that's awesome. I love that.
What was he trying to say?
We're not entirely sure. He was trying to say,
Dad, I want to be a cop.
Yeah.
You think so?
Probably.
No, God, no.
And the other thing I want to point out. Yeah, you know, your fantasy writing, and then obviously coming from a firefighter background, I just want to let folks know that if you decide to get this book and you start reading The Christmas Carol and it's a little much, skip ahead to The Janitor. And the rest of the short stories are kind of like a little X-Files episode for you. Things are going to get weird, things are going to get crazy, and then everything's going to go back to normal. So it's kind of a good escape. Yeah. So
I should have you writing my blurbs.
Sold.
And now that we have that on a recorded line, you're not contractually obligated to. No,
there you
kidding.
Go. Doug Brown, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Great writing. Keep it going. And we hope to talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I love your guys' show. And just thanks a lot. And I hope that if you aren't getting, you know, if you're still struggling, I hope things get better for you. And I hope you have the right help. And I love being on. This was great. So thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, that the perspective you got, the help that's in your heart is extraordinarily meaningful. You may not get that feedback every single day, but, you know, every once in a while somebody reaches out to us and they're like, hey, we like your stupid show. And it makes us feel good. But, you know, having you have the stones to, you know, write your own experiences, you know, and put a little fantastical twist on it, I think is great. But it takes a lot of courage to step out there like that. So I can't say enough, you know, good things about you. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you.
All right, man. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. We'll talk.
All right.
I love having authors on the show. It's so cool.
And especially when the authors reach out to you like, do you want to read my book? My answer is always, yeah, I do.
Free book?
I want to read your book.
Yes, please and thank you.
Tell me where I can get it. You know, Send me a snippet.
The only bummer about it is I wanted to ask this question. We didn't have time for it. I want to know what his writing regimen looks like, because that's one of the things that fascinates me about authors is, you know, like Acuff, he gets up at stupid o'clock and does all of his work before his, you know, family wakes up.
Yeah.
He's very focused like that. Some people, you know, maybe they're nighttime writers or you know, haphazard.
Well,
I have no idea.
We can have Doug back on the show just to talk about his writing regimen.
That would be very,
make you
very
happy.
Interesting.
You guys can nerd out about that, and I'll just be over here, you know, drinking coffee.
That, speaking of which, ooh, yeah, drinking coffee.
Drinking.
You know what?
Filthy pirate coffee.
Filthy pirate coffee.
The official coffee of WYU Radio.
That is absolutely correct. And if you're interested in getting your own little filthy pirate, double
different
entendre
show.
Go to WYERadio.com/filthypirate, and when you get to checkout, use the code Pirate Ship. Pirate Ship. All one word. And you'll get some free shipping.
Yep. And special thanks to Filthy Pirate Coffee Company for supporting the show. If you like what they're doing and you like the show, go get you some nice coffee.
Yes.
You win, we win, they win.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
It's a big win.
It's a big win, except for Elliot.
You know what else is a big win?
What's that?
You thought I was going to do a bolo, but I'm not. We're signing off for the rest of the week. Enjoy your week, y'all.
Stay safe out there, gang. Cheers.